Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos? Welcome in to the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. It is week 14. The playoffs are 1 week away. And no, I did not forget to hit publish on the episode because we are later. The Bogman.
Yeah.
He's been down hard. You've been down hard, Boggs.
Oh, man. I think I bragged a couple weeks ago about, I haven't been sick since blah, 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 and this, that, and the other thing. And then my
also,
mom got
it. Also, I
want
to point this out. This is a big key. Here's a big key to all of that. Not only did you, A, brag about how not sick you are, how so super healthy you are, you also bragged 2 days
I don't think I've
ago,
ever bragged about how super healthy I am. Well,
from a sickness, from
just
being
not
sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the big brag, this is the one that I think put you in, you go, this is like the most easy flu I've ever had via school.
That
is never
true.
Been easier in my life. I'm just running through it. I'm like a triathlon. This is the easiest thing that's ever happened to me.
I didn't say any
that?
Of that stuff. I just all I said was I said this is like in terms of colds, like I'm sick, but this is easy, you know. Like
roll
this
them
is no
night,
problem.
Baby.
I don't have the chills, I'm not coughing, and then the next day, chills and coughing, just dead.
You haven't been sick long enough to know you just don't say that. You just don't say that because you weren't done. But,
well, no,
you've been...
I had like a couple weeks ago, I had a little something, you know, and it was it was kind of like this, but like the very first 2 days. And I kind of thought maybe I'm getting another version of this, whatever this is. It kind of feels like allergies, like you don't feel quite right, but you're not sick, sick. No, I was sick, sick last 2 days. Miserable, just terrible. I'm not 100% now. Obviously, I think you guys can probably hear it in my voice. I'm still wheezing, you know, got that crap in my lungs and all that stuff still. But I, take
you
some pills.
Hey, take the
they make me, they give me a little nice little two-hour burst, and then I'll sink back down to the depths of misery again. So enjoy this two-hour burst, everyone. We're going to get it in. Let's go.
That's right. Also, our Wheel Wednesdays we do on Twitch move to Friday. If people care, and
probably should have done that
out
today, because there's no way I can taste any beans today.
You probably would. And also, like, if you vomit from a bean, like, I don't know, might clear you out, might clear some of the icky.
Sure.
Out. So might have been not a bad idea if we're being honest. But it has moved to Friday if you guys want to check that out, and want to give you guys a reminder, in less than 1 week or more, a little over a week. I'm sorry, not less than a little more than 1 week. Is the Deck Our Balls Christmas special Friday the 16th. That is only on our Patreon at inthisleague.com. You guys can sign up. You guys can hang out, have fun. Usually a couple hours. We'll have some eventy type of things. We are going to drink, hang out. We have a Welsh Wheel of Chaos that is going to go on, and we open up some presents. I don't know how many or what or anything like that. I do have a couple things that I think have come in, Boggs, and we've got our secret Santa stuff that's going to come in. So we will have some presents. We will be causing chaos, a very not safe for work Christmas special that has, let's see, I mean, in the past, it's had blackouts, it's had crying, vomiting. Mm-hmm. Yep. I actually still, you know what, I just found this the other day, and someone wanted me to add this to the wheel. I think I tried to shotgun a beer last year, the year before, and I annihilated the room. It's on my ceiling fan. I didn't even notice. I could still see it on my, I have to clean that. It's on my ceiling fan. I saw it like yesterday. So it is a, you know, it's a ridiculous time. If you guys like to hang out with us, it's a couple hours and it is only on the Patreon. So make sure you're the LT level above if you're interested in that. You can also get Bogman's Dynasty ranks and a gajillion other things. Get in the GroupMe rooms on the LT level and support your boys in the final month of the year. Let's end the year strong. And let's go into 2023 even stronger. So ITL can like really rock out. We've always got plans we're working on, but you know, we just got to be able to justify it. So come and hang out. We'd appreciate it. The reason for the season, Bogman and Welsh, right? That's what the, they've always said.
All the commercials say that.
I got a gift. I did receive my first Christmas gift yesterday. And that Christmas gift was the 49ers not putting in a waiver claim for Baker Mayfield. And I would rather Brock Purdy, I would rather sick Scott Bogman be the quarterback and throw those five-yard just slant outs all day long. Give me that all day.
See me on Madden.
You know what? I think we'll be better. Well, no, I actually like real life Bogman more than video game Bogman. You're not going to sling it deep. Bogman's going to go those 5-10 yard slants and give
me
it to
Colt
Debo
McCoy. Have the same arm. I'm not throwing it deep. So
yeah, exactly. I would have rather Colt McCoy than Baker Mayfield. The Los Angeles Rams were the ones that put a waiver claim on him.
Did you Richard Sherman got asked like, would Baker Mayfield make sense for the 49ers? And Richard Sherman goes, I don't think Baker Mayfield makes sense for anybody.
Yeah, for anybody.
And he said, you know, what I've been saying, these first round picks will get extended chances because they're first round picks, but they've shown you. I mean, Baker has shown you with two different franchises this season. He's no good. So why does a third need to take a chance on him?
There's an irony to this, though, because like the Rams are going to take on the money. What do they care? They don't have any future for anything. They don't care about the F them picks, all that type of stuff. But what is ironic about it, they are the one team, even though Brock Purdy is not good. And there was a huge upheaval on Twitter of people. And listen, I'm a 49ers fan. I want him to be good. A lot of people trying to justify him being good. A lot of the stuff you talked about, oh, he had weapons. And I saw, you know, he had a deal with Alabama and he decided to go here so he could start all this stuff. A lot of justification into him being way better.
The point is not that he's good. The point is that for a third string QB, you could do much worse, I think, than Brock Purdy, which doesn't mean he's good. It means,
but I'm saying,
whatever,
even,
you know,
even with Brock Purdy, even all of that, whether you are on the side of justifying or not, I would still rather him than Baker Mayfield.
For
no Baker Mayfield ever.
He's been there the whole year.
But the Rams.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Are worse than anybody. I don't even think, little did we know, their quarterback situation is the worst in the NFL outside of Matthew Stafford. This actually is an improvement. There are literally 29 other waiver claims. I wouldn't have said that this was a good spot and improvement. This is an improvement off of Wolford and Sonny Wilford
Bryce
and
Perkins.
Yeah, exactly. Woodford, Bourbon, whoever, and Bryce Perkins. This is actually an improvement. And they were saying this, their quarterback situation is so bad. It's so bad that Baker might play on Thursday. They're like,
I cannot imagine that he plays on Thursday.
Oh, simplify the offense? Absolutely.
He got added on Tuesday. What do you mean simplify the offense? You mean hand the ball off to Cam Akers 55 times?
Hand the ball off and just run simplistic
go routes.
I mean, there's like simple schemes in the NFL that all these guys have run before. Baker's a veteran. He's got all that in it. So you find out what he has done and what he's comfortable with to what works in your system. You simplify the playbook,
dude,
because nothing else works.
Up plays on his hand, like
absolutely.
You know, all right. Do this. You do one of these. You do a little curl here.
They got the thing in the helmet. They just say, Baker, don't throw a pick. Go long. You know what? Baker might be better in like street football. You know what I mean? Like second down car.
You might not be wrong there.
Yeah.
Just tell Baker Mayfield that the Raiders said that you suck. You know, just do one of those. The Raiders said you suck. That you're terrible, and that way he'll grab his crotch and wave it at him, and then be good.
What do you think is worse? What do you think is better, Perkins or Wolford? Knowing whatever they know in the scheme of the system and being able to check down, or Baker Mayfield with zero ability to check down and only goes to the first target on the playbook. You get what I'm saying there? Look, like he goes to the first person every single time, or let those other guys have down reads.
I think the point is that it's going to look the same regardless of who's behind center for the Rams. It's going to be bad. So I think this was, you know, like you said, I think this is actually a pretty good landing spot for both these teams. The Rams have no picks left at all, right? Like they're just done with selecting players in the NFL draft, and they don't have money to spend because they spent it all. I'm assuming Matt Stafford's done, right? Spinal contusion, all that stuff. Like he's old. They can't protect him. Why even play anymore? So get Baker in here for the end of this season, see what's going on with him, and then I guess give him a shot between him and Wolford and probably someone they pick up in free agency next year. Maybe they trade for like Mitch Trubisky or something. Who knows? But, you know, this was everyone had the Niners pegged as a team that would pick up Baker Mayfield. Ugh. So glad that didn't happen for your Niners. And I think it actually makes sense him landing with the Rams. So,
and
I think this is a good signing from both ends, but there's just no way he plays on Thursday. I cannot imagine he gets in.
Well, I actually think there's a possibility. I really do. I think there's a possibility to what I said. I think it could just go to a level of like play first reads, simplify the playbook down to 20, 25 plays. Don't try to have checkdowns and you just do it because it's no worse. But either way, the best news of all, there's no fantasy relevance. The options there are awful. Tyler Higbee, no matter who's the quarterback, is maybe something. Cam Akers, I think, is still out there because he's
Cam Akers, the only guy you can play from the Rams.
Jefferson. I don't trust anybody else. Not that Baker could get it to wide receivers anyway. So none of that matters. But the best news of all of it on top of it was the Niners didn't put a claim in. They had like the 28th claim in the NFL and the Rams had the 21st. So this wasn't like they got beat by the Rams. They were just like, no, thanks. No, thank you. We'll move on. We would rather have Josh Johnson picked up off of the wire than or the practice squad of whoever the hell he was with the Broncos than even deal with Baker Mayfield and spending that money. What absolute nonsense.
Honestly, I don't think there's much a difference between Josh Johnson and Baker Mayfield. And I know
I'd rather have Josh Johnson. I'd rather have him more active around the offensive the line.
Yeah. Yeah. I would rather have a guy that's not going to come in here and, you know, try to wreck the whole locker room like Baker seems to do. So yeah, I'm with you, Josh Johnson. Anytime I can make fun of Baker, it's a win. I love it.
He's the worst. Yeah, he's a gimmicky, one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, Sam Darnold is like exponentially better than him. Literally, Sam Darnold, once he was healthy, they're like, okay, thank God we can get to Baker. We can get him out of here. It's good. On the quarterback front as well, going through news and notes, we'll also be hitting our plays of the week, and we will have voicemails coming up here in a little bit, so don't you worry. We got it all. Lamar, not going to play this week. Sprained PCL was a word. They said this is a week to week. It started as like a day to week situation, and that looks like week to week, maybe a tiny bit more serious. Could have a 3-week timetable on it. But either way, he's not playing this week. And we kind of expected that he wasn't going to play. And that's going to put Huntley in, which, you know, like it's a downgrade. I don't know if it's an exponential downgrade, but you have to downgrade all of the pieces there. I'm already kind of pushing Andrews down a little. I talked about this. I was on Fantasy Pros yesterday and was talking up TJ Hockenson again, but also just bringing up like the way that they have been moving offensively the ball. Like Mark Andrews is, we're not getting those big studly Mark Andrews days. You don't not start
he's
him
still not 100%. Yeah.
But he's just
playing
also
with a back
not,
of QB is just not great either.
He's so not tight end
like by 100 cuts. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's also not tight end two. So he kind of comes down. He's not the second best tight end in the league is what I'm saying right now from a statistical standpoint. He's moving down a little bit. That doesn't change anything for you. I don't know. Maybe like Devin Duvernay and DeMarcus Robinson were also moving down. I just don't know the level of throwing that Huntley's going to get if it's going to be any more than Lamar. So I assume all those pieces move down. The running backs move up. What is the Dobbins situation? Is he going to be activated this week? Have we seen?
I mean, I don't think it matters, to be honest with you. Maybe he'll.
Well,
be
if he were active, like, I would put him in the top 36, and Gus Edwards would probably fall out.
No way. No. Well, Kenyon Drake is the best running back there anyway. Like what happened this weekend was, you know, they basically put Drake in over Edwards because Edwards was ineffective. So, I don't know what they've been doing with these running backs, but whatever it is not working. Like Drake is their best guy. They tried to put Dobbins in over him, and then Drake, you know, went back down the bench. Then Edwards looked okay for a week or two, and then last week they put Drake in over him again. So if Dobbins comes back, they're obviously going to baby him his first game back. So hopefully this is his first game back so that he won't be babied, you know, the next couple weeks. But I just, none of this offense is clicking at all for Baltimore right now. So it's a hard start, no matter which running back you're picking from there. But I haven't heard anything. All I heard was last week that Dobbins was a maybe and he couldn't make it. So I'm assuming that's kind of where we're at with him still right now, since there's been no update. He's like a maybe.
And here's the problem why that's like the overarching theme. The other side of it is it's up against Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh's defense can clamp down sometimes. The thing they can't do is do that on the pass. So that kind of gets you back to being like, you're, again, I talk about Andrews. Andrews is out there, so you don't worry about anything like that. But now you look at DeMarcus Robinson and Duvernay and you go, okay, well, you know, this might be a little bit more interesting. The running backs, Steelers do a little bit better job of stopping the run.
Robinson had a decent amount of targets still, even with Huntley in for most of the game yesterday or last week. I think he had like 9 targets. So like, looking at Robinson still could be okay.
And looking at the consensus ranks, none of the wide receivers, Duvernay or Robinson, at least on the ECR, Fantasy Pros, are ranked as top 3 wide receiver plays. They are not. And only Duvernay comes in as a flex option. DeMarcus Robinson is outside of that. The running backs, both Gus Edwards and Kenyon Drake, come in the mid-30s, just inside of a flex play at running back. So I kind of disagree on the running back side because, well, I mean, I'm more Gus than Kenyon than you are, but I know you're going to talk about him in a little bit.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about Kenyon for sure. And you know what? I think over the last month, and I'm in the Texas guy, I love Devin Duvernay, and I prefer him, but like, they're not throwing him the ball. They're throwing DeMarcus the ball. So DeMarcus is their number one right now, especially with Andrews less than 100%. So I kind of think Robinson's the guy there moving forward for the rest of the year.
This is a big piece, I think, and then we're going to just go through and talk about some of the injuries that are looming. That now, by the way, this is a big old discussion you and I had, but like, I mean, Roto World has had a whole bunch of controversy this year. one of them being them firing every good person they have. They literally hired Matthew Berry, and then they fired every single person in every other sport to keep Matthew Berry and 3 other guys. And
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league.
Break it down.
I mean, that's not to like, that has nothing to do with this. It's just the quality of a lot of things and the blurbs have gone down and stuff like that. Yeah. But they have a blurb up there that is, I don't want to say it's so misleading, but it is. So, okay, so here it is. We're talking about is Zonovan Knight. Bam. So Robert Saleh came out, and this was reported by the Jets beat reporters and stuff, that Zonovan is not going anywhere. The quote is not going anywhere, even when Michael Carter returns. So there's something to talk about in there. But the headliner on Roto World, until you click into it, this is amazing, goes Saleh, Zonovan Knight to maintain role regardless of Michael Carter returning. Nowhere in the actual blurb when you click into it does it say that. It's so wildly misleading, even though you can get there in your mind, but why someone felt that they didn't even use the quote in the headline to say we'll maintain his role. That's actually not what Saleh said. They just said he's not going anywhere. So Michael Carter can come back and take his role, and Zonovan might take the James Robinson role. But it was, I was looking at that and I was like, this is just stupid. Like, what a dumb line this is. But outside of their poor reporting and their just awfully poor headline, whoever the hell wrote that, it is interesting because I think James Robinson still could get cut, depending on like if Michael Carter were fully cleared. I don't know if that team would be against cutting James Robinson. I think he'll be inactive because he doesn't play special teams.
Well, Zonovan will play Ty Johnson over him. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't think James Robinson can be active if Michael Carter's there. Nah. So Michael Carter will still get run, but I think this goes to, this actually turns into that situation that you thought James and Michael Carter were going to be, where I think it's just going to be a heavy split between those two. Zonovan's going to probably get 10 to 12 touches.
I think Michael Carter gets 12 to 15. I think this week will be heavier Zonovan than Carter, because Carter's just coming back from his injury. So like, it's going to be 50-50 between those guys, but you're right, man. And this is kind of, you know, I mentioned this stuff for Roto World and a lot of these places, a lot of the beat writers too will do it, where I understand you're trying to get clicks, you know, and you're trying, like, I understand that's the purpose, but like you said, it is very misleading. You know, you can read into not going anywhere saying, oh, well, he's just going to keep his same role. I guess you could, but that is not what he said. You know, unless those are the exact words out of his mouth, I think it's fairly irresponsible to have that as the headline. So
yeah, like, and that was the thing. Like I would admit, both of us admit, we didn't read the press conference where they pulled this from. But what I thought was wild is when you click into the like blurb on Roto World, nowhere in there does it use that quote. Right? There's actually nowhere in there is that quote. It's just such a clickbaity bullcrap. That I think,
but not going anywhere could mean a million different things. Like, we're not cutting Zonovan.
He's not going to be inactive.
He's not going to be inactive. He's going to have a role. Like, that could, it doesn't mean we'll maintain his role that he's had the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's getting 20 touches and Michael Carter's going to get 6. And that's kind of what is insinuated there. So
that's
really
why
stupid.
We would say it's misleading, because it's insinuating something that we're not sure Sala was insinuating. So, look, Zonovan has looked good. And honestly, he looks like the best running back out of this bunch right now, with Michael Carter being not 100%. So I would not be shocked if Zonovan kept this role and led this week. But I do think that, like, you know, when you get to the off season, unless Zonovan puts together some insane last month, which could happen, he's looked pretty good. You're not, who cares? Like, you're going to have Breece Hall back at some point next year. Probably early in the season, if not week one, and Carter's still your two. So those are still the guys there.
Yeah, it means James Roberts is gone. It's SE reporting, and it's opinion. Like, and that's fine. It's just, it's opinionated stuff. If you were to only look at the headline, you'd be like, oh crap, Zonovan Knight is starting. Even Michael Carter's lost his job. And it's like, no, it just said he's not going anywhere. So we'll have to see it's not a great matchup. But we'll have to see the inactives and how Michael Carter's status is. If Michael Carter is back, I do think it leans a little bit Zonovan, but like, his ability to still be a startable asset, I think they'll throw him the ball, which is good, but I just don't know if he'll be
this
anything
week,
more than a flex.
You know, if he's playing this week is nice because of Bipocalypse, but that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Bipocalypse, by the way, Atlanta, Chicago, Green Bay, Indy, New Orleans, Washington. A lot of backs in there. I mean, obviously, Patterson, Montgomery, Aaron Jones, Jonathan Taylor, Kamara, and Brian Robinson. I mean, those are 6 top 24, 30 backs. I mean, maybe not Patterson.
At least all the rest of the running backs are hurt, so that's good.
Yeah. Injury side, Joe Mixon still hasn't cleared proto. Got to get out of proto. Zach Taylor says he's trending in the right direction, but if you don't follow proto, then you can't get out there. You can't get that job.
That's right. Touch it through the fence.
You can't do that. And if he doesn't go, then Samaje Perine is going to be full bore. I think if he is active, though, you will see more Samaje Perine this week than you usually do, even if Mixon goes. Because, I don't know, I still think this is a little dicey, this whole situation. But Perine would be at best a flex, and Mixon goes back into just being startable. Trevor Lawrence did not practice on Wednesday, got that sprained toe. Little bit in question. I think he'll be good. I think he'll be fine, but that's me.
Do you remember seeing that injury? When it happened, I thought he tore his knee up when it happened. So to hear that it's just a toe is like very positive. I'm happy that it's just a toe at this point, because it looked so bad. When
did
it
not
happened.
Look just like a toe, but sometimes a toe, no. Toes happen, man. Don't tell me about it.
Don't you know?
I know. Deontay Foreman did not practice on Wednesday, dealing with some rib and foot stuff.
It's weird coming off of the bye too. Like, they just had a bye week and he's still not practicing. It's a veteran rest day on Wednesday. Yeah. So that's probably what it is. But
he had a really low total. Erickson had, and I really liked this bet. We were going off of the early prop bets. You guys can check it out. It's I think it's on the normal podcast and the video side with Erickson and Warmly. And we use kind of like prize picks to kind of garner what some of, I went off. I didn't just use prize picks because there were things that I just knew I was going to like. But what Price Picks had, like, it was like 53.5 or 55.5 yards for Foreman. He'd been killing that. But part of that is probably built around this injury stuff. So you're going to have to monitor if he's good to go. then Foreman is going to be kind of a deal, especially in the prop market this week. But I think Thursday is going to be really key to injuries to see how much I would want to be in on it. This is not a good one. And I got to be honest with you, this might have to change one of my quarterback plays now that I'm looking at it. Nathaniel Hackett said that Courtland Sutton is trending in the wrong direction, not looking good to play this weekend versus Kansas City. Not that he was really doing much in the offense anyways, but this is not good for that offense, which already stinks.
I think that all it does is, you know, really just makes Greg Dulcich a guy, you know, and they talked about how they're using Greg Dulcich in the wide receiver role anyway. So, like, you know, Sutton sucks anyway. Judy was on a snap count last week. But the whole offense is terrible. I mean, Russ has been so miserable this year. If they had anyone else to go to, they probably would have at this point. So it's just another, you know, bad thing for this Broncos offense, which is already the worst in the league by a wide margin. They've been so
Russell Wilson stank. Tua's going to be limited in practice, but good to go. He had an ankle injury, but he should be good to go. It was really interesting seeing some of the breakdown we saw of some of his throws against San Francisco. I saw someone, I forget who it was, they put out a chart of just how inaccurate he was. And it was funny because, again,
at least he left the game so that Dolphins fans can still go, well, they're undefeated when he starts and finishes the game.
Yeah, when he finishes the whole game. And forgive me for not knowing who it was. I just saw the chart. It was interesting how they were talking about how the wide receivers were continuously open. And there was a couple drops, and Tua did have some of those. But also, that's something that pressure does. You know, like, you can have wide receivers open, and then you can look at accuracy. But that's something about pressure.
Just a little off.
You don't want to throw this out here, too.
He's throwing a little bit earlier than you normally do in practice. Like, it just throws at your timing and rhythm completely off.
Everyone in the entire space of football and voting and stuff has been anointing Michael Parsons, the NFL rookie, the defensive player of the year. But you need to start looking at Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa has more tackles for a loss, more sacks, I think more pressures. I mean, he's a defensive player of the year right now. I mean, he's absolutely ridiculous. And if not, at least he needs to be in the 1A, 1B conversation instead of everybody anointing Micah Parsons that. And it's because every single time he's out there. Have you heard him talk, by the way? Did you see that video about him with the sacks?
No, yeah. No. Are you talking about the one where he's talking to Eric Armstead and he's like, I just want to sack the quarterback?
Yes, man. Yes. Where he's just like,
I've seen that 100 times.
I've watched that a million times. There's just something about how he's like, maybe you can pull it out. I can't figure out who he sounds like to me. I'm going to pull it up. We're going to play it. He's just like, I just want to sack the quarterback, dude. He just sounds like a stoner.
I just want to sack the quarterback, dude. Yeah, man. It's not as easy as it looks.
And he does his mouth
out. You got to make a play on the football, man. That's how we're going to win the game. We got to
take agree more.
Fred Warner.
We score. Everybody do your assignment. And then once the ball's out, score.
Can't agree more.
Yeah. Honestly, that's kind of sounds like me. I mean, that's kind of, I just want to sack the quarterback, man. Let's just,
And then big old hype up speech. And he does this thing with his lips. I'm going to turn my camera back. He goes, can't agree more. He's being weird. Like,
is he Jack Nicholson? Is that what he is?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, he's just super stoned, I think, at all times. I think he just looks like he is high. He looks like he's 100 milli Bogman out there.
Enhancing drug right there.
Yeah. He's just like, I just want to sack those unicorns, man. Like, they're out there just doing weird stuff and they just got to go down, you know? I don't know. Nick Bosa, defensive player of the year, and also puts a lot of pressure on him and makes quarterbacks not as good. DJ Dallas has a high ankle sprain. Why is that important? Because Ken Walker is also dealing with his injury, which I think is going to take him out of the game. And furthermore, the team went and signed Wayne Gallman. Last week, I think they said Travis Homer was like sick. And he's going to be active. For them to go and sign Wayne Gallman, I think also tells you a lot about Ken Walker's status. I do not expect Ken Walker to be active. And I think Travis Homer will be the starter and is going to be a very sneaky play this week because I think he will get the brunt of it if DJ's out and you just sign stupid Wayne Gallman. It should be almost all. And Travis Homer is already kind of the third down pass block.
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts. One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs.
Fast for 4 hours.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Rank time for week 14. We've got quarterbacks, we've got running backs, we've got wide receivers. Let's see. Did we want to take a peek at last week? Let's take a look at we don't have them marked here, but I had Mike White as my top quarterback play, which I think was pretty eh. Had a lot of yards. I think it was 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. I think it was pretty good. Pickett was not good, right?
He was okay. He completed a lot of passes.
I don't think either
didn't throw a touchdown.
I don't think either one of mine really played. Yours, I think Goff was good. That was a major hit. And Tannehill was not. So I think if anyone got a point, you got the quarterbacks here. On the running backs, I think I definitely hit on Brian Robinson. You did not hit on Montgomery. I got Zonovan as well, and Benny Snell did not work, and none of yours hit. None of your running backs hit.
Montgomery was okay. Kyren was back to the bench, and Daryl Henderson had the flu, so he did not play.
My wide receivers, my top two, I think, hit. My last one didn't play, barely. Zay Jones. I got Garrett Wilson, though. I think that was my biggest of the entire week was my Garrett Wilson wide receiver one, and then I had Josh Palmer as wide receiver two. You had Godwin. Pickens and Eli didn't
terrible.
Work. So
Godwin was good. Pickens had 1 catch and Eli Moore had 1 catch. So my 2 last ones were terrible. And Godwin had a touchdown taken off the board.
That's right. That was the winning touchdown with 16 seconds left. It went to Godwin. He catches it. And then what was it? Was it Worf that
had the hole? And then they still ended up winning. By the way, I saw today that with Byron Leftwich calling the plays in EPA, expected points per play or whatever, the Bucs are 26th in the 2-minute drill with Brady calling the plays and leading the drive, 2nd in the NFL in EPA.
Do you think Byron Leftwich is going to get a head coaching gig finally this year? Do you think that's part of it?
Sure, going to get one. I think it's more likely he is fired from the Bucs at the end of the year than he gets a head coaching job.
I just don't know if anybody gives him a shot. Like D'Amico Ryans is gone from the Niners. He's going to 1,000%
head coaching.
He's getting a head coaching job, and then you just put an experienced OC in front of him, and he's going to be great.
Give him Carolina.
I think he could go to Houston. You know, back to his.
I don't think they're going to fire Lovey after 1 year, but
bye-bye.
Carolina for sure should hire him.
But D'Amico will get it. But there's just something like Byron. Seems like he was in that.
He should have left last year. Last year, and he didn't. So, we'll see. Maybe a college head coaching job for him.
Ooh, like who?
I'm not sure. A lot of the
Marshall.
A lot of those have been. Sark is good. I have no issue with Sark. He recruits well too. You got to give like a guy like that. You got to give 4 years to get a full recruiting class in. I don't know. There are a couple jobs that'll pop open, and there'll be a weird one that'll pop open for him at some point too. So I don't know. I think most likely scenario, if I'm putting money on it, still the Bucs OC, because Brady likes him and he'll want to come back for another year.
You just said he's going to get fired.
I said it's more likely that he'll get fired than he'll get a head coaching job. I think that's true because I think, with the Bucs playing so bad, we've already heard Bucs fans wanted him fired a month ago. So But I think most likely is he just sticks. So
yeah, we'll cares about coaching. I'm just curious about Byron. Quarterback plays for week 14. We are not going to have Tom Brady on our list. So let's kick it off with surprise quarterback one for the week. You had Goff last week. This was probably your best call of all the calls here, was your surprise quarterback one of last week. So no pressure.
I mean, Mac Jones against Arizona. We saw the run game play incredibly ineffectively for the Patriots last week on their Thursday night game. So much so that Mac Jones was like, you know, F the run game, let's throw it. If you saw them reading his lips on the sideline, which I've also heard is people saying it wasn't the run game, it was the quick game, and he wanted to throw it deep. I think they let him uncork it against the Cardinals. If you're going to let him uncork it, it should be against a team like Arizona. I know they're coming off their bye and everything, but the corners still blow. Run game has been somewhat ineffective. Damien Harris still down. Throw the ball. Throw it with Mac. And this Cardinals secondary can absolutely get beat deep. So give me Mac Jones against the Cards.
Regardless of the injury that is looming, I am going to stick with Trevor Lawrence and not worry too much about it. Game time to go because they're going up against the Tennessee Titans. Now, here's one of the things about it. I think that there's a possibility that they will be playing from behind the whole time. Big shocker, right? Derrick Henry is going to run all over them, which is going to get them passing the ball. It could be one of those weeks where you think Trevor Lawrence is nursing, try to run the ball a little bit more. But Tennessee is susceptible in the air. They give up the second most fantasy points in the league to fantasy to quarterbacks. Almost 300 yards passing, almost two touchdowns, little under the average on picks. And rushing is kind of indifferent for them, though I will say they give up around four attempts per game. But the average is around a little under four yards per carry. But either way, I mean, this team is built to sling the ball. Zay gets re-involved. They've got three different options. Travis Etienne can get going. I just don't think the Jaguars are going to be up where they can play slow pace. I think the Titans are going to be able to get up on this game and they'll be playing from behind. Either way, that is the advantage for the team. The advantage is that pass defense against Tennessee. And this is a great spot. And Trevor Lawrence is not placed inside the top 12, maybe because of the injury that's getting him out there. But I think a surprise QB one of the week is going to be Trevor Lawrence for me. I'm changing it. I had Russell Wilson as my guy, but you take one more weapon out off of him, I'm just done. I don't even want to do it. He was going to be my surprise QB of the week, which is a deep league play. It's because it's against Kansas City. You know, Kansas City's defense is, they're going to give up plays.
Most passing touchdowns allowed.
Is that true? Yeah, they're tied, actually. Yeah, they're tied with the Arizona Cardinals. They give up the fifth most points to quarterbacks. There's so many things. They don't pick off the ball. It works in their favor, but it's Russell Wilson, man. It's the Denver Broncos offense. It's not good. You know, Jerry Jeudy and Dulcich are not going to get it done versus the Kansas City Chiefs. So I moved off, and I'm going to actually go with maybe a more risky play, but let's go with Magic Mike White again. I'm going to go with Mike White back in this. I know it's against Buffalo, which has its obvious concerns, but kind of like what I'm talking about with Denver and Kansas City, the positive I'm looking at is that they're going to be playing from behind. You know, they're still giving up some yards. They're giving up at least a passing touchdown per game. The Jets, I think, can keep this game close-ish, even if they're playing from behind, and they're going to try to pass the ball, whether it's to the running backs, whether it's to Garrett Wilson. That secondary has been kind of banged up a bit in Buffalo. That I like Mike White as a sleeper quarterback play. And the reason I kind of bring him up in this is I think a lot of people are going to be terrified of him this week because of the Buffalo matchup. And there are situations where, you know, you could be in a super flex spot where to be honest with you, I like Mike White over Russell Wilson this week, even regardless of matchup. And that could be a super flex option play. And I would go with Mike White, Boggs.
I like it. I'm going to take my hometown guy. Give me Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett against the Baltimore Ravens, and I think it's just watching him over the last month. You can see he's just a hair off of making some big completions downfield. And that's going to come with more experience with the wide receivers, more practice, and just more game time. I'm also very interested to see if George Pickens and Marcus Peters start maybe the biggest brawl in NFL history this week, because Peters is a don't back down from anyone. You've seen him walk up into the stands to get in the fans' face. Pickens is the same way. They're both kind of jerks. So I'm very excited to see.
Are you worried about Pickens long term? He seems like he's picking up that jerk side quick.
He's just a crybaby. He had that in college a lot too, but I think there's enough guys that'll get in his face in the NFL.
But calm down.
I mean, you saw Cam Hayward right in his face, you know.
That's fine. So, he's a rookie. He puts up with that. But you get to the point where you start making your money, you're established, you're not a rookie, and you don't give a crap what anybody, you don't care about Cam Hayward getting
I worry about that with every wide receiver because they all seem to have that same, you know, are you going to turn into, an Andre Johnson who is not complaining about stuff and all that, or are you going to turn into Terrell Owens? You know what I mean? It's one of the two, but you have to
Antonio Brown.
Antonio did it, you know, most of it after his career, all of it after that perfect hit. But so, you know, pre CTE, but you know, you have to be good first before you can start bitching like that. So you have to be a Pro Bowler. You have to be one of the tops in the NFL. That's what aggravated me about last week was, dude, you're not that guy yet. So you don't get to call for the ball. You made some amazing plays your rookie season, but you're not going to the Pro Bowl. You're not a number one wideout. You're not, you know, not even a high fantasy pick at this point. So quit bitching for the ball until you're that guy. So, Kenny Pickett is my guy. I think that I have to throw against the Ravens. Even though the Ravens, I just saw the stat crawl by 1-5 without Lamar since 2020. So it's not good for them, but
Go with Pittsburgh,
it's just a hair off, just a hair off of some of those big plays. And I think he could do it this week because the Ravens secondary is still very questionable.
Running back, surprise RB1 for week 14. So we'll snake back to you, Boggs. This is a very interesting play. I'm going to set this up because on that Fantasy Pro show I just did, me and Erickson were talking because I liked his pick of one of the props, which was Tony Pollard. And I was throwing back at him, but what about Zeke? Zeke has been crushing it. Zeke has five straight, and I don't mean to take a stat away from you, but straight games with a touchdown, and two of those were multi-touchdown games, and his rushing yard prop is at 64 yards, and Tony Pollard was at 71, and I said, what about Zeke? He wasn't really having it, but your top running back is?
What about Bob? Zeke, it's Zeke, and look, it has nothing to do with you know, those stats that you just said, they're playing the Texans. The Texans are miserable. They keep playing hot potato with quarterback. Now they're going back to Davis Mills. They're really packing it in at the end of the season here. They bowed up. They played really well against the Browns last week, especially on defense, because the Browns had to score on special teams and two defensive touchdowns to win that game. But this is the emotional letdown after that. Like, you did everything you possibly could to beat Deshaun Watson coming back, and none of it worked, you know. So now you're switching quarterbacks again. You're playing your in-state rival in Houston or in Dallas. And remember, the Texans won their very first game as a franchise against this Cowboys team way back in the day when they first started. So this is a rivalry between these two in-state teams, but it doesn't matter, dude. The Cowboys are one of the best teams in the NFL right now. The Texans are the worst team in the NFL right now. So it really doesn't matter how they split carries. Both running backs are going to be great. I think they both get in the end zone. I think they both could get in the end zone twice, and I wouldn't be shocked. So let's roll Zeke against the worst run defense in the NFL. Pretty easy pick to me. I figured you'd be mad because I got the sheet first and took Zeke, to be honest.
No, but I'm very interested in Zeke. He is number 13 on this list, and Tony Pollard is number 8 on the ECR list. I do think it is tough. I think
he
there's a lot of options.
When I looked on Monday too, he was way lower than
He's moved up. I will tell you, maybe one of my favorite plays this week too is this DeAndre Swift one, in which he's only 14. He's not my play here, but it could be. Actually, it probably would have been smarter if I would, but my number one would have been my number two. I couldn't do him as my number two. But like, I love DeAndre Swift, and he's not even in the top 12 of RBs on ECR on Fantasy Pros under half PPR. And I think the receiving side alone is what's going to set him apart. My play of the week is a guy that I talked about last week. You were ready to say he's in a complete timeshare. I'm ready to say that this week will reprove it's not. Going back to Jeff Wilson, and I'm not just going RB2, I'm saying RB1 for this week. It is a fantastic matchup against the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers have famously now given up fantasy points to running backs like it's going out of style. They give up the fourth most fantasy points to starting running backs, 135 yards rushing, which is second. It's more than 10 yards than the next team. They give up the most yards per carry in the NFL at 5.6. The next best is 5.1, and it's just about a touchdown per game. I don't believe Raheem Mostert and him are in a complete timeshare. I think it was script and how the game went in this past one, and I think it will go back to Jeff Wilson.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
And he will pop, and he will be my number one guy.
It was miserable.
The entirety.
They only had the ball for 20 minutes. They ran the ball 9 times or whatever it was last week. That was pathetic. You can't put anything on what last week was at all.
Now, I think there's a lot that needs to change. And I think what a common thing I would do as an NFL head coach, I'm obviously not, but I think any logical person would do is like, all right, what are the things that have been working? And what did we not do right in this last game? Oh, you want to know what one of the most clear ones is? They don't have control of time of possession outside of defense stopping. But what, you know what it was? Establishing any type of run game and having any success on the run. They completely went away from it because they fell from behind. That won't be the case here. Jeff Wilson is going to get back into it, and he will be my guy. Number two, my surprise RB2 for the week. This is dicey.
I like
it. Going with Cam Akers. I'm going to go full in here because they're going up against the Las Vegas Raiders, which is on Thursday. And here was one of my things that I almost wanted to do, and I would have if he had established that he was rocking. Almost would have went Kyren Williams because the Raiders give up the most yards receiving to running backs in the entire NFL, 55 yards. No other team gives up on average over 50.
Well, you didn't because of the quarterback, right?
But two things. I didn't because Kyren took such a step back and because the quarterback play. I think we can talk about how not good this offense is and how not good Cam Akers is all we want. But here's the deal. They gave him 17 carries last week and he made it work. And he built trust. What did he do last week that didn't give him trust to this week? Nothing. So he's going to be fully involved. I don't know that Kyren is going to be fully involved. It doesn't look like a complete touch split, maybe a snap split, but not a touch split. And if I thought he was going to be the Jerick McKinnon and he could catch 5 or 6 balls, I would go with him. But you know what? I think Cam is going to be out there more. He's going to run. And this is the best team to catch a couple balls on that you just throw him 2 or 3. He might break out on them. So as a surprise running back 2 for the week, I'm going to go with Cam, who is sitting, actually, to my surprise, he's sitting at 26 on ECR, and I'm just putting him inside the top 24. So I thought he'd be much further, but that's going to be my play for the week for RB2.
I like that one a lot. I'm going to go with Kenyon Drake against Pittsburgh, and it's because I just think that with all of these nasty RBs, Gus Edwards ain't working, we're babying J.K. Dobbins, not even sure he's going to be up for this week.